Let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
Wow, bro.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's the goal, and Murray sniffing the end zone. Does he get there? It's a touchdown for Latavius Murray. And what an opening drive to begin this second half, put together by the New Orleans Saints.
Right now, it just feels like this Bears defense is just simply worn down, just has not gotten much help. And even with a 9-point lead, it just feels like it's not even as close as that.
Throw to Hill. And he's into the end zone for a touchdown. I know we have a long way to go, and Troy, you brought it up very early in this game. But I don't think you can say enough about Sean Payton. And yet game planning again against arguably the best defense in the NFL with a lot of backup guys.
If Breeze says he's healthy, the doctors say he's healthy.
Murray into the end zone. This is about to be 27 unanswered points for the Saints.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your nights like this?
Good morning and welcome to ESPN 1000 with Pat Boyle, Danny Zetterman, and Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. An absolute debacle on the lakefront yesterday. Bears get trucked by the Saints in every possible statistical measure. Don't let the last 3.5 minutes fool you. Quarterback was an F. The coach, an F minus. And everything else, right in that same general ballpark. Defense ran out of gas, but they were not good all day long. And I put it all on the offense at the start because these guys can't ever get off the field and get some time to recuperate, but they weren't good either. They're getting hit at the point of contact, getting blown back. Roquan Smith looks awful. The Saints scheme and get a punt block right away early in the game, and they're the ones that played last week, and the Bears were on the bye. It was a train wreck, Pat. How are you?
I'm okay. First of all, good to see you here. You're a gamer for being here, and I know you're dealing with the shingles situation, and it sounds brutal.
It's no fun.
And I know stress is part of that equation, so you probably should not be watching Bears games going forward.
I'm usually a guy who handles stress pretty well with whatever's going on in my life. But, man, if you've never had the shingles, you don't want them. Holy cow, do they suck.
So, sorry you're dealing with that. Again, you're a gamer for being here, dealing with what you got going on. And then also having to break down, to me, the worst game of the Matt Nagy era, by far. A complete train wreck.
Yep.
And it's really hard for me to fathom this team ever making the playoffs this year. I mean, I just don't think there's any shot that they can win 7 of their last 10 to make it. I
don't see a scenario. Like, they were 3-3 last year. That's such a different 3-3 than this year.
Not all 3-3s are the same.
Agreed. They were terrible. Trubisky, awful. And the play calling, worse. If that's possible, worse.
So let's start with that, okay? We've got here in Chicago a team led by an offensive-minded head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive side has been heavily invested in via free agency and the draft. And it's one of the worst offenses in the entire league. And it wasn't good last year. It's actually regressed. The running game has been a topic all season. It was the topic after the Raiders' loss in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we assumed with self-evaluation, with all the minds that Matt has on his coaching staff, that time would be spent at Halas Hall.
In self-reflection. Hey, guys, what are we not doing well? Blocking, committing to the run, didn't do any of that. 7 carries. Fewest in the history of the franchise.
How about even the approach they took? It really is Tariq Cohen on the first play from scrimmage running an inside zone run. Is that his strength?
Absolutely not.
No, it's not.
And can I ask you this? And again, let me be clear. And I was one of Mitch Trubisky's biggest supporters. He's awful. awful.
Boy, that didn't take long.
He's
awful. Mark it down, Chris.
He's awful.
You flipped on him quicker than Joe Madden.
But here's my question. Here's my question. You always love to turn around and see if you get some reaction from the peanut gallery.
I love to always try to see what's going on.
Why is he not being rolled out? Why is he not doing any type of quarterback run whatsoever? Nothing. We're not seeing any of the stuff we saw last year. None of it. That goes back to the coach, but the quarterback's been pathetically bad. But what? Something's going on. They're not even attempting to look like the team last year. David Montgomery gets one carry in the first half. Then he gets one to start the second half. He fumbles and gets one more the rest of the day. That's it.
Cap, they had five runs in the first half, 23 pass plays. I thought it was really telling Matt Nagy's response last night at the podium when he was talking about why he abandoned the running game. I have said on your show for several weeks that the running game is Matt Nagy's blind spot. It was at Kansas City. It has been in his tenure here in Chicago.
Here is Matt Nagy. Why only two carries for David Montgomery?
You guys seeing the theme here? You know, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And then the pass run ratio to start the game?
Yeah, early on, we weren't getting, again, we were 0-1-2 on our yards running the ball. It's really simple math. As a play caller, when it's 2nd and 9, and 2nd and 10, and 2nd and 8, and you're moving the ball, throwing it, you're getting first downs, throwing it. That's what the objective is to get first down. So I don't care if I have to throw the ball 60 times a game. If that's what's going to help us win a game, or if I have to run it 60 times, I don't care. I want productive plays. It's not hard. And so that's probably why, that's probably where that went. And then you came out the second half and you want to be more balanced, right? As bad as all that was and everything that's going on, we came in the locker room, it's 12 to 10. As bad as that was, 12 to 10. Think about that, right? So now you come out in the third quarter, they go down, they score, and then we fumble first play. That's hard. That's hard. And then before you know it, now you're down 9 points, and then it's double digits, and now all of a sudden you have to throw the ball every down because time matters.
I could not disagree with him more.
100% agree with you and disagree with him. It has to be a mindset. We are running the football. We are going to smash the ball in there, and if we get zero, we're running it again and again and again.
Because it can have a cumulative effect on the opposition.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And for him to say, I abandon it, I just simple math, I'll throw it 60 times if I have to. Really? With that quarterback? And he says, well, when I'm passing and we're getting first downs, really? Were they racking up first downs? Were they moving the chains?
I don't know what game he was watching.
I mean, that bravado that I saw yesterday, man. I know he has on his play chart BU. I'd like the word not to be put on front of that. Or don't be you. How about don't be you? Because being you is running the ball 7 times and having a bad quarterback try to win you the game with his arm.
Okay, so if I gave you the best offensive mind in football, who is that? Sean McVay? Josh McDaniels?
Sean Payton might be up there.
Payton? If I dropped that guy in right now and he's calling all the plays, is Mitch a better quarterback? I'm not saying great. I'm saying is he better?
I think he would be, only because there would be a running game. Yesterday, they were without their biggest weapon. And they ran the football down the Bears' throat, mm-hmm. 151 yards. Mm-hmm. Latavius Murray, 27 carries, yep, for a buck 19.
Yep.
It's a commitment. Now, do they have a better offensive line? Are they? But I think it's a mindset that you need to have to begin with. And I think Matt is just too quick to turn the page and get back to his roots of chucking the ball around the yard with a quarterback that cannot hit a simple curl. has guys wide open and cannot connect with them.
Yep.
And the sad thing is, a running game would help him out immensely. That's the part that's just
mind-boggling.
It is, isn't it?
If he doesn't have the answers, this is your head coach. So why am I supposed to believe that Mark Helfrich, who was a gimmicky guy at Oregon, never been an NFL coach, why should I believe he's the answer to fix things? Like, it's amazing to me. Here's Matt Nagy when he was asked about his quarterback.
Again, all of us, we were all at a point where we just didn't do enough. And I think I want to go back and watch and see, like, progression-wise. You know, I know there's one there's one there early in the game where we missed a corner route on third down. And Mitch knows, you know, he knows that he could connect on that. We connected on it about, you know, a lot in practice. And it is what it is, you know. We need to play better early on. You know, start the game 3 and out. Can't have it.
Boy. Not a real impressive press conference either.
You guys notice a theme between Nagy and Trubisky is they talk a lot about the success they have in practice.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that? They talk a lot about what they do in practice and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Controlled situations, how it works for them. But yet when they get hit in the mouth by a team that's trying to beat them, it all falls apart.
Oh, but Chris, they have selective memory when it comes to practice. Because in Bourbon A, when he throws a bunch of interceptions, hey, that's what we're trying to do with Mitch. We're trying to see the parameters of the windows that he needs to throw to. So it's a lot of there's smoke and mirrors on the field, and there's smoke and mirrors at the podium.
Here is Mitchell Trubisky. Thoughts on the game and its takeaway.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint it. Just frustrating, ugly. Couldn't swing the momentum in our way. Couldn't really get going. Just sputtered out. We just got to find ways to stay on the field, especially after third down, and move the chains and get going. And it's just, as far as the offensive standpoint, that's not the way we know we can play, which makes it really frustrating. And you just got to believe that we're close. I still think we're close. And I feel like a couple of those third downs and different plays early on go our way, then hopefully the game goes a different way. But it's just frustrating, and you can't really pinpoint it exactly right now. But all I know how to do is go back to work tomorrow, find out what went wrong, what we can correct on film, start with myself, and go from there.
Here he is on missing Taylor Gabriel on an open third down.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to go back on film and watch it. That was one of my favorite third downs all this week. Ripped it all week in practice, and it just didn't translate to the game. I don't know why. I'm going to go back and watch it because that's one of my favorite throws, and I hit that every single time this week in practice. So why it didn't translate to the game is really frustrating for me. And I felt like that's an easy throw that I make easily, and I just wasn't on the same page and didn't put it in the spot to give my guy a chance. So that falls on me.
Please don't play any more of him. Please. I can't. I can't listen to that.
Pat, one of his favorite throws. He can't hit one of his favorite throws.
I ripped it all week, Chris.
That should be that with him.
I ripped it all week.
We should be done with this now.
I ripped it all week.
The Bears have an answer in their building at offensive coordinator. Brad Childress is a senior offensive assistant on the Bears.
Yep.
You know, when Brad Childress and Matt Nagy were both in Kansas City, they were quote-unquote co-offensive coordinators.
Correct.
Nagy was on the field next to Andy Reid. Childress was in the skybox, and they would communicate to each other. Why is it unfathomable to think that they could bring Brad Childress back to help his protege once again?
Well, we heard Matt yesterday say something will change. Something will change. I don't know what it is, but something will change. Well, maybe Chili will be added to the equation.
I mean, he led the Eagles when he was on the Eagles staff to 3 straight NFC championship games.
I find it hard to believe that the reigning NFL coach of the year is going to turn the play calling over. I really have a hard time doing
it. Andy Reid did it.
Yeah.
Andy Reid said, we're struggling, and handed the keys actually to Nagy, and they went, what, 5-1 the rest of the way?
Yeah. And how much of that was to also boost Matt's resume to get him some looks?
You're telling me in the midst of a season, a guy's going to do that just to boost a guy's resume? No way. I think he thought it was the best thing for our team, and they won.
Why did he then, why did Andy Reid let a 21-3 lead at halftime go in the, I think it was the wild card round against Tennessee? Yep. And only watch Matt Nagy run the ball five times in the second half. Why did he allow that?
He must have co-signed it. He must have. They all hear that stuff. I mean,
that's why Andy Reid hasn't won a ring.
Maybe. Maybe. That's definitely a valid point. 312-332-3776. We've got every line lit. And so it's your show today. We're going to try and get as many of you in as we can. Josh in Bowling Brook's first. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Cappy. Love you. Love the show.
Thanks, man.
All I got to say is he's got to turn over the play calling. I love the comment that was just made about Childress. And I don't know how they can do it, but they got slaughtered yesterday by a guy that, in all honesty, should be their quarterback next year, even though he's going to get $20 million+. They got to do something, even if it's trading for Josh Rosen, a fifth-round pick. I mean, Trubisky just doesn't have it. I was on your book train. I rooted for the guy. I was all in, but it's just not there. And we're wasting an elite defense similar to Lovie Smith.
Hey, man, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Have a good week. 312-332-3776. Who's to blame for the Bears' horrible offense? Nagy? Trubisky? Is it a bad O-line? 312-332-3776. All of your Bears calls are next.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Right now, it just feels like this Bears defense is just simply worn down. Just has not gotten much help. And even with a 9-point lead, it just feels like it's not even as close as that.
Larry, what's up?
Throw to Hill. And he's into the end zone for a touchdown. I know we have a long way to go, and Troy, you brought it up very early in this game. But I don't think you can say enough about Sean Payton. And yet game planning again against arguably the best defense in the NFL with a lot of backup guys.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
That was courtesy of Fox yesterday. Tom Brenneman, our buddy, and Troy Aikman, as they called that 36-25 Saints win over Chicago, and it was not as close as that.
Think about it. The punt block on the first series could have been 7 points. Will Lutz missed 2 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
They had a punt return called back. Ted Ginn Jr. dropped a touchdown pass. I mean, this thing could have been a 30-point blowout.
No doubt.
Before the window dressing in the fourth quarter, which was a complete joke.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Ben. Ben's in Hammond. Hey, Ben, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, Capcake. Hey, I just want to preface this by saying that I'm a Colts fan.
Yeah.
And thank God that Matt Nagy picked the Bears over the Colts, because what a joke. The fact that he's going to say that they went away from the run game at 0, 2, 1, and 2 yards gained and talk about it was working the other way. I mean, what is he talking about? When I turned the Bears game on going into the fourth quarter, they showed that the Bears only had 4 first downs. I thought, is this a joke? I just have to say I'm sorry for you guys. And the other thing that I want to say is I don't know that you're going to be super happy with Chuck Pagano in the long term.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Have a great day and a good week, okay? So we should hate our head coach, our D coordinator we're not going to care for, our quarterback sucks. So that's where we're at.
Well, how much of the defensive struggles are related to the offensive problems being on the field too much?
I give a fair chunk of that.
Yes.
Because they can't keep them off the field.
Right.
Can't sustain any drives. These guys are exhausted. But I got a few things on the defense.
You know, they give up a 100-yard rusher for the second consecutive week. Please explain to me why for the third week in a row your $140 million franchise defensive player leaves and doesn't talk. But
that's
I guarantee you that if he had three sacks yesterday and they pulled the upset, he'd be at his locker standing there. That bothers me. He's a hell of a football player. He is. He occupies double teams a lot. Get it. Love it. He's a talented guy, and I hear he's a good dude. Stand at your locker, good or bad, and say, guys, that can't happen. Not on our watch. We've got to be better, and we'll get it fixed. And here's another thing for the quarterback. When you go to the press conference, the only thing, and I heard this from Olin Krutz on the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. When you go to the podium, say, I'm the quarterback of this football team. I was the second overall pick. I was awful today. We're going to go back to work. We're going to get it fixed. Don't look at anybody else. Don't point at my coach. Don't point at the defense. Don't point at a guy who might have run a wrong route because someone asked about that. This starts with me. I'm the quarterback of the football team, and I was awful today. And we're going to get it fixed. Next question. Mitch, what do you have to do? I was awful. Next question. I was awful. We'll get it fixed. Anybody else? See you later. That's how you handle it. That's what a leader does. He just doesn't sound composed up there. Sorry. Sounds shell-shocked. Shell-shocked. And it's embarrassing.
And he's performing the same way.
Zero confidence. No confidence. Doesn't make the throw when he's
simple
got opportunity.
Throws.
Yeah.
Basic throws.
And then I watch when he rolls out. They've got a clear first down. Tariq Cohen then runs out of bounds for whatever reason. Mitch doesn't throw it to him on time. And then Tariq runs out of bounds. I'm like, what are you? I mean, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. Outcoached, outplayed. And then I walk in and Danny says to me, hey, Matt Nagy said, you know, to not let the outside, the media, distract us. Okay. Don't even mention the media, Matt. Don't. But he says, don't listen to anything outside. And then what do we see? Allen Robinson going back at Cameron Smith, some fan or someone. I don't know who Cameron Smith is. And then you got Allen Robinson going back at Aaron Nagler. Keep my name out of your mouth. And then Tariq Cohen. This tweet is so stupid. Y'all act like I don't know I'm short. Okay, would it be out of line? Chris, you're a millennial. I'm not. Would it be out of line?
What up? What do you got?
If Matt Nagy walked in there this morning and said, this starts with me. I got to be better. We'll get this fixed. The first guy that's on social media that I read anything engaging in a tweet, you're not playing Sunday. Don't think you're that important. I'm not going to have this stuff start getting dragged to social media and this and taking on reporters. Not going to happen. By the way, Matt wasn't happy with the reporter as he walked out because the reporter heard him say something about the media making it negative and kind of rolled his eyes, and Matt was not happy with that. They all need to look in the mirror and shut their effing mouths and play.
Interesting. A social media ban. I see what you're doing there, Cap. The one thing I would come
close
back with
ranks.
That. I get it. I don't know if it would be out of line if he wanted to do that. I just think it would be oppo from what he's kind of preached since he's got here. Right? Like everything the Bears do, they've put out there on social media for us to consume. Their little dances in the locker room, the booms in the locker room, all this nonsense. You have head coaches from other teams making fun of the Bears because of it. It's kind of who they are. Spouting off on social media is kind of par for the course for what they do because they put it all out there.
Yeah, you can't club dub when you win
and
then be like, no, get off the internet when you lose. You can't do it.
So you're going to let your guys embarrass themselves out there.
Listen, I think Troy Aikman at the end of the game, and if you were still with it at the end of the game, this was really good stuff from Troy. He pointed out that real leaders of coaches that are real leaders are able to stand in front of 53 men when the going is bad. And Matt Nagy has never had to do that. So I'm wondering if he's going to start losing that room. Remember, Mark Trestman stood behind the guys.
Did you say the T word?
I'm not comparing Trestman to Nagy, but I'm saying that Mark Trestman, one of the things that we crushed him for was he stood behind the room. He didn't have the presence to stand in front of the room. Matt Nagy has never had to deal with the team when the water was so low. This is a low point for this team, and it's going to be interesting to see how Matt Nagy responds to what's going on and if those guys really have true faith in him. What we saw yesterday on Twitter that you're pointing out, Cap, shows that this team is starting to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if it shows that they're falling apart. It shows that, you know, it's like people in our business who are retweeting someone with one follower because that one follower took a shot at him. Trust me, I'm going on 6 weeks not engaging with anyone, and it's awesome. Just get freaking tough. Close ranks. Go to work up in Lake Forest. Don't read the effing newspaper. Don't listen to the haters.
All right, go do your work. I got to call you out. You are doing exactly what the Bears are doing, because forever you were at the forefront of social media, in the shower, going at it with fans, but because you got tired of it and got away from it, mm-hmm. Now everybody else should follow that recipe.
Yeah, when you
for
get
five
your head
or six years,
in.
You were doing it a different way yourself.
Yeah, and I learned, and it's a hell of a lot healthier.
Okay, all right.
Hell of a lot healthier. So.
We can tell you got shingles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, holy smokes.
Maybe you need to release some of that tension.
Maybe it's not that much healthier, Cap.
As we go back to the phones, let me just tell you, if you've never had, I put a poll question out yesterday. What was worse?
Wait, yeah, I thought you weren't engaging.
That's
different. Okay, sorry.
His Twitter goes one way, out.
Out. Out.
I don't go back at anybody. Okay. And you said it wouldn't last a week. It's six. Take that. 312-332-3776.
Why are you counting, Cap?
Oh, it's like...
Because I just laugh. He did not think I had any ability to do it, and it motivates me even more. Okay. Not that I need to. 312-332-3776. I put a poll question out yesterday. Which is worse, the shingles or the Bears offense? And I voted Bears offense, and I'm dealing with the shingles. And if you've never had them, trust me, they're awful. Brutal, painful, ugly, horrific. By the way,
Michael Melby on Twitter has named this show today Boyle and Boyle. Can we start going to break like that? Get it, Boyle, B-O-I-L.
Oh, yeah, nice. I got it.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lewis in Morton Grove. Hey, Lewis, what's up, kid?
Good morning, gentlemen. Number one. Cap, hope you get better.
Thanks, man.
It does suck, but I have a comment and then a question. My comment is, number one, I still have faith in Matt Nagy. I still believe that he's an offensive guru. I believe that if you were to give him a good quarterback, someone like Bridgewater, that would be able to, once Matt Nagy design a play and there's a wide open man right in front of you, that someone can deliver that ball to that wide open man, I believe that Matt Nagy will be able to come up with his creativity, and we can see it on the field. Right now, I believe that Mitch Trubisky is holding him back on that. I don't like Mitch Trubisky. He is not showing me any improvement. He's just declining. My question is, do you believe that this defense is getting frustrated so much with the offense that is starting to show on the field? Because they're there and they're saying, hey, listen, we keep giving you these opportunities. We keep stopping this defense. And you guys are just three and out. Like, of course, everyone is going to be frustrated with each other. You know what I mean? Like, if you got one person or one team or half the team playing their butt off, and you got the other half just, oh, well, we're trying. Man, you're going to lose that locker room ASAP.
Hey, man.
But I still believe in Matt Nagy, man. I still believe in him. I just believe that we need a better quarterback. And I don't agree with that scenario that you painted, whether you bring a better head coach and would it make Mitch Trubisky better. I don't agree with that because this man can't throw more than 10 yards. But have a good one, man. I hope you feel better.
Thanks, Lewis.
And talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good day and a good week. 312-332-3776. Where do you want to go? Want to go to England?
Yeah,
we can hear from our guy George in England. Hey, George.
Good morning. I'm glad you're back, Cap. Yesterday was absolutely shocking. Mitch had some horrible throws. I think we were expecting that him coming off being injured. Nagy had 2 weeks to plan for this, and it's not like. I mean, if I can see what the Saints are doing on offense and defense, then surely him and all of his assistants and all the rest of it must be able to see it. Called an awful game. Mitch had some bad throws, as in the ones that sort of one hops and stuff like that. But equally, he's got happy feet. The problem is now is he will never have a chance in Chicago, no matter what he does in the next game or the next three. He's done, I'm afraid. It saddens me to say. But, you know, what we need to do is whoever they pick as the next QB, and I think Nagy will get his chance of a pick at the next QB, because I think he'll still be here. We can't just carry on doing what we're doing. As someone who's played defensive line and coached defensive line, you can't get into the run game with 4 attempts in the first half. You can't do it. You have to stick at it. Yeah, because you can have bust assignments on, you know, 2 or 3 plays. Running it with a wide receiver, 180-pound running back, when you've got Mike Davis who runs north-south with force, with impact, you know, that Jordan Howard sort of running up the middle and pounding people and wearing people down, that's gone. That's not Nagy's style. He's never going to run the ball. You can take the coach out of the Arena League, but you can't take the Arena League out of the coach, I'm afraid.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. See you, buddy. That's our guy, George, in England. Diehard Bear fan. A good follow on Twitter, Bearlissimo. Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Alex in Naperville's next. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Cap. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I had a question. You know, a lot of this offensive stuff was brought up by JD in the off season. You know, some red flags. And I'm just wondering, you know, week in and week out in these practices, is this what they're seeing, you know, coming out of the offense? Or are they coming out Sunday and it's a complete shock? Because if this is what they see during the week, then whoever's involved in these practices needs to be, you know, waving this red flag. And, you know, whether it's Pace and Nagy or whoever it is. But to me, it sounds like they're shocked that this is what's happening on Sundays. And if that's the case, then something's definitely wrong at Halas Hall.
Appreciate it. Yeah, what is going on? I mean, at practice, we had a good week. We hit all our throws. Like, how can it be that far off?
Oh, I'd like to know how much work gets done on the running game. And I would like to try to wrap my arms around the philosophy of Tariq Cohen running an inside zone. Like, that doesn't seem to be a recipe for success.
Agreed.
You know, running the option to the boundary. Like,
why do we not see Mitch running?
Not only is it a lack of commitment to the running game, it's a poor philosophy to the running game.
Why do we not see Mitch roll out at all? Any kind of use of his legs?
You would think that they would go to that because he had a lot of success last year. If you look at the numbers, he's barely scrambled at all this year. He did it, I think, 36 times last year. So almost twice a game on average. You know, he's not doing it at all now.
None.
Part of me might say they might play the injury card, but look, if you're out there playing, you can get hurt on any given play. Agreed. In the NFL. So,
agreed.
And I think that would help his confidence, and it would make the defense respect some part of this Bears offense. Because right now, with zero commitment to the running game, they've become one dimensional as a passing team, and they're horrible at that.
Yep.
They're a no-dimensional offense. There's not one thing. If you're in the room game planning, if you're the Chargers who have lost 3 straight, all by 1 score, and you come to the lakefront next week, I mean, what is making you nervous in the film room as you take a look at this offense? Nothing.
Nothing. Now, they are also going to have Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, and they're going to try to run the ball down your throat.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would think, that team's going to stop us? Good luck. Commit to the run if I'm the Chargers.
No question about it.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Who's to blame for the Bears' horrible offense? Your calls. Every line lit. People want to talk. It's your show. We'll be right back to ESPN 1000.
That's not the way we wanted them to come out of the bye. The Bears lose. We'll tell you all the stuff we didn't like, and we'll take your phone calls.
We get started straight up at 2, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
.948 in Chicago. We're going right back to the phones. By the way, yes, the offense is horrific. Yes, the defense needs a chance to catch their breath. But let's not forget the opening drive of the second half. Saints had the ball. Defense had had all halftime to rest. 6 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. So the defense has been less than stellar. Let's just be honest here. Less than stellar. It had nothing to do with on that particular set of circumstances. And the one where Teddy Bridgewater was able to roll right and then he ends up getting the first down, he falls. They look at the spot and he gets it. Khalil Mack, tackle the freaking guy instead of trying to strip the ball.
How about when they bring the extra lineman in, the Saints, and it looks like it's going to be a run and they only have 2 receivers going out in patterns and they get wide open?
That's the one to Teddy Ginn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Brutal. Brutal. Hey, this hour brought to you by our friends at NBC Sports Chicago. Blackhawks dropped one last night, 5-3 to the Washington Capitals. Remember, NBC Sports Chicago, you're only home for Blackhawks games this season. Back to the phones. Pick one. We got so many lines. Every line's lit.
Let's start with line 5. Let's go to Dallas.
Line 5. We're going to Dallas to Steven. Hey, Steven.
Good morning, Cap. To me, Nagy lost all the credibility in the honeymoon period after yesterday's game, if it hasn't been already lost at all. To me, you had 2 weeks to prepare, and if this is the best that he can come up with, I think there's something seriously needs to be asked about Nagy. One thing is, you ask any quarterback to throw 50, 60 times, much less to this, is insane under any circumstance. And the fact that his definition of running the ball is that it's not sexy enough, is even bothersome. But the fact is, he's not even committing. You have to run the ball, and then you have to be able to commit it before any big plays has to happen.
Yeah,
he expects every running game to be 10, 15 yards per game. That's something stupid, and yeah. I hope somebody like Childress comes up with a better plan going forward. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Steven. Appreciate it. Cell was cutting out a little bit there, but thank you for your thoughts.
Let's go to line 4. This one might hit you right in the crown jewels.
Let's go to David. Hey, David, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing, Cap?
Good, man. Hanging in there.
So this is my take on it. It's not so much Matt Nagy as it is Ryan Pace. And not, you know, right as the season started, he made a bunch of moves where we don't have any depth on the offensive line, which is, I believe, why we can't run right now. Getting a bunch of gadget players, like, I love Tariq Cohen and stuff, but there's only so much he can do. He's sort of not really a running back. Then you get, like, Adam Sheehan, and none of his picks turn out. I think this is all sits on Ryan Pace's lap right now. And I think the defense is giving up because they can see the offense is a pile of doo-doo. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't believe the defense is giving up. Appreciate the call, man.
Well, what do you think about his premise that some blame is to be cast on Ryan Pace?
100%. Absolutely.
By the way, we talk about Tariq Cohen. 9 catches for 19 yards.
Yes, the second fewest yards with 9 or more catches in the history of the sport, most since 1940. And that's almost impossible to do.
Was Mike Davis not active, I assume, yesterday? That 2 years, $7 million.
He wasn't inactive.
He didn't get it.
He was not on the list of inactives.
I looked at the list of inactives. He dressed. For what reason, I don't know. It was picture day.
I mean,
Hey, Mike, make sure you run out to the 40 in warm-ups. We need a picture for a trading card.
You guys want to hear the most insulting thing? My buddy Rich in Deerfield texted me, and he said, let's not forget yesterday was Walter Payton bobblehead day. So they set the franchise low in attempts rushing at Walter Payton bobblehead day.
Our friend Hub Arkish tweeted that he thought Walter Payton's bobblehead could have bobbled its way to more yards than the Bears did running.
Oh, man.
Anyway, pick another one. Where do you want to go? Oh, do we have to break? We got to break. All right. We'll get back to your calls. And Kevin Fishbane was in the locker room. What was the mood like? If it was anything more than just devastation, then they got real trouble.
Is dust building up on the club dub turntables?
Yeah, exactly.
Clearance sale going on. And over there? I got a disco ball I'm trying to get rid of over here.
And as I tweeted this morning, Joe Girardi currently in his second interview with the Phillies in Philadelphia after they came to his home last week. He is meeting with upper management and is considered to be the front runner for the vacancy in Philadelphia, who one source told me they're all in to try and win next year. But they're going to spend
What about Joe Espada's second interview?
He had his second interview with the Cubs yesterday, and look, if they didn't name David Ross by today, now you got to supposedly MLB does not want announcements to overshadow the World Series. Are they waiting on Espada? That's a good question for Jesse. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.